your source for everything paranormal.
Para-X.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to The Gathering Radio Show here on the Para-X Network. And this is Heidi. And somehow, and hopefully she'll be with us live and in person soon. But yeah, she's, as those of you who have tuned in know, she has had some issues with her Skype, and it seems to be here. I seem to all of a sudden have my computer freaking out all of a sudden at the same time. So I don't know what's going on in the universe. I don't know what's happening here, but we will still have a fantastic show, and hopefully we'll get through this all in one piece. Technology seems to not be our friend today, so hopefully we'll get through this and live to tell about it. So anyway, welcome everybody to the show tonight. We're super excited. If I'm stuttering, my computer is making all sorts of changes without my consent, so we'll see what happens here. But it's just been really awesome. You know, we're in this energy of transitioning out of this Leo energy, which has been really, you know, big and powerful, at least in my world and in those that of the people that I work with. Just really big, powerful energy, which is kind of, you know, kind of how summer goes, I think, sometimes. It can just be really big and booming. And, you know, for some people, I think maybe it's just peaceful and quiet, you know, a summer off or, you know, hanging out at the lake, things like that. So, but I do know that it has been wild and crazy here in my neck of the woods. I think Stephanie might be back. Are you with us?
I just don't know what to do with this Skype. But yeah, I'm back for now anyway. Hey, and I can even see you. Oh!
Well, good, because my... Well, it's kind of... Yeah, we'll see how this goes. Anyway, so I'm going to keep my settings up so I can keep changing it, because apparently something is going to keep changing on me. But, you know, it could be. I'm wondering, because we have a guest with us tonight who writes about the paranormal.
Right.
Steph. When I kind of do a lot with the paranormal, I wonder if the paranormal energies are coming together and saying, hey, let's have a little fun with these gals tonight.
Right? So, don't you wonder?
I'm wondering.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. Because, you know, we're all paranormal peeps here, you know, and they're just going to get us. I don't know.
I would think so. I think that's a good
thing. Oh my goodness. Well, hopefully everything will just cool it now, you know, because this is, I've had Skype on now. I'm just saying I did my diligence. I did my homework. I have my chat room up on my tablet. It's not even on my laptop. So my computer is actually 3 feet away from me and I'm looking at you. So, you know, I just don't know what else I can do. Hopefully it all works.
It was weird. You know, we're talking about this whole paranormal swirl of energy all of a sudden. And I swear to you, every time I would change my settings to my headset, which I have it set for all the time, it would change back to some other random setting. And I was like, what are you doing? I'm not changing you. Quit it. So anyway, hopefully it's done.
Well, see, and I had to get off my headset for you to be able to hear me and for me to hear you. So I'm not sure what is going on my end either. Can you hear me okay? Is it okay to do this?
And I apologize to everybody out there that is...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'm apologizing to everybody out there while we're dealing with the technical stuff. We don't usually have this many issues. Sorry about that.
No.
Anyway, let's...
But we do today. And, of course, today we have this phenomenal
cool guest. And she's sitting there patiently waiting.
And she's thinking, oh, these guys are amateurs, baby. They're just amateurs.
Oh, God. Oh, here we are. So we do have an awesome guest tonight, and why don't we just go ahead, before the whole thing goes into the abyss itself, let's go ahead and introduce paranormal author Wendy Webb. And we're super excited to have you on our show tonight, Wendy. Thank you for joining us, and sorry about the kind of nuttiness we have going on here.
Hey, I'm really excited to be here, and you know what? I take full blame for the technical difficulties. This kind of stuff happens to me all the time.
Before the show,
the listeners.
Oh my gosh! No, well, we were chatting, you know, and all of our listeners know that Steffi's been having big Skype problems the last few weeks. But so we were talking about how we hate Skype, you know.
Not only do I write about the paranormal, but I have weird things happen to me in my life all the time. And I'm a Leo. My birthday was Sunday, so it's like the perfect storm here.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yes, happy belated birthday. And I, you know, it's Mercury's not even in retrograde, so I'm not really sure what's going on right now. But, you know, it just, you know, it makes it more fun, actually. You know, it makes it more memorable. Heidi's laughing. Heidi's laughing. And I'm, you know, you got to look at the glass half full. You know what I'm saying? It's just as fun. But anyway, I have to say, I'm really excited to have Wendy on the show tonight because I discovered her books last. It was Christmas time last year, and I was really under the weather. I was on vacation, thank goodness, because I didn't have to be anywhere. But and I needed a book to read, and I found Daughters of the Lake out there, and you know I couldn't go to sleep. I had to read the whole thing. Within a day or two, you know, it was like, oh my God, there was no sleep for me because it just was. It's such a page turner. And Wendy is a Minnesota gal, right, Wendy?
That's right, born and bred. I live in the Minneapolis area these days. I was born in St. Louis Park, and I lived in Duluth for about 16 years. So I've kind of covered the state. And I write a lot about the Great Lakes, Lake Superior specifically, because it has such just a mystical lore and legend. That is just alive and well to this day.
Well, and you know, Lake Superior, I mean, for those of us who live around the Great Lakes, we all hear the stories about Lake Superior. And so this book, Daughters of the Lake, takes place on Lake Superior. And it talks about Lake Superior as being a spirit that kind of, you know, is very involved in this family of women. And I'm not going to give it away, but it has quite a twist. You know, it has quite a twist. And it's like just, my gosh.
Hey, Wendy, can you tell us, like, where did that come from? The whole spirit of the lake?
When I was living up in Duluth, I got to know that the people up there, now, they're not going to admit this out loud, but they believe that that lake is alive, and it has mood, and it will bless you or it will curse you. It just like the native peoples did. That legend and lore has been passed down, and it's still alive to this day. And I'll tell you a little story that kind of illustrates that. There was a guy. This was a few years ago. He was trying to swim across all the Great Lakes, and he couldn't get across Lake Superior. And he was interviewed on one of the Duluth news stations, and he had the audacity to say, well, why is it so superior? Is it even called Superior? Isn't it superior to the other Great Lakes? And
Sorry, I'm going to interrupt you for a second. Steph, I think we're getting a...
Yeah, echo. I hear that feedback.
Yeah, I think that's because, Steph, you had to take your headset off, and it's getting a pretty bad echo.
Oh. Yeah. Well, let me try to put it back in. You keep going, Wendy, and I'm just going to put my headset back in and see if it works.
Okay, so after the guy, the swimmer, dipped Lake Superior in public, I can't tell you how many people I heard say, well, good luck trying to swim across it now. People really thought that the lake was going to prevent him from swimming across it, but you know what? He never did.
Oh, that's interesting.
And right before Daughters of the Lake came out, there was, I don't know if you heard about this, but there was a big storm up in Duluth, and Canal Park, which is right on Lake Superior, got flooded.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like a, you know, 10-year storm, and it was, you know, it made the news. But the... he was interviewing this couple who lived down the shore from Canal Park. Their canoe went missing 2 years ago. And after the storm, the day after, they walked out and it was deposited back on their beach.
Oh, come on.
And I'm not kidding you, it made national news. And they said, well, I guess the lake was done with it.
I guess so.
And it was that, it's that kind of, it's that kind of lore and legend that really inspired this book. And also, place inspires me. And a few years ago, I had, I hosted a big birthday party for myself because, you know, I'm a Leo. And I rented a big house in Bayfield, Wisconsin. And it's a B&B, and I rented out the whole thing for my family and friends. And we spent the best weekend of our lives there. It was so much fun. In fact, a good friend of mine who was there and I were just talking about it last weekend, how much fun we had. But the house itself just intrigued me. It's 100 years old, and it overlooks the lake, and it's got this big Victorian porch. And I just started thinking, what kinds of things have happened in this house over the past 100 years. And that place just kind of germinated, and the lake is right there, and it all just came together and created this book.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's cool. So it just is. From staying in this mansion.
Yeah.
Here comes the story.
And it's in the book. I set the book in that real place, in Bayfield. I kind of fictionalize it a little bit. I call the town Wharton, but, you know, fooling no one. Everybody knows it's Bayfield. Mm-hmm. And that's the real place. And a couple of the characters are actually people I know. So it's a fun book to write. The Simon character, if you remember him from the book.
I love Simon.
See, now everybody says that, and Simon is based on a good friend of mine.
Oh! Anderson. Love him! And
Ken is in hospitality also, and when I started writing the character of Simon, I just couldn't get Ken's voice out of my head. So Simon is Ken. And he just absolutely adores hearing that, you know, everybody says, oh, I love Simon.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I do too.
Well, he's such a good character. I mean, all the characters in the book are so well put together and just so, so fascinating. But Simon, really, he's my favorite. I'm like, I wish I had a cousin Simon that had a big man, you know, took care of a big mansion on Lake Superior. That would take care of me. You know, I could just go up there and he'd tuck me into bed and feed me, and you know, all the stuff that he does with Kate. I mean, really, everybody wants that, right?
Everybody wants that. He's just so wonderful. Yeah. And there are a lot of other real things that I kind of pepper throughout all my books, real events that happen in my life. There's an incident in the book where Kate and Simon are talking about going up to the attic and seeing this painting of just this dour, old, scary lady and being scared by the painting and running down the stairs.
Yeah.
My brothers and I did that exact same thing. In my grandfather's house, he had a big old house with an attic, and we would sneak up And there was this painting of this horrible lady up there that scared the crap out of the three of us. And we would see who could stay there the longest. Oh, and we'd all end up running down the stairs, and it was this big game. And when I was writing that book, I thought, you know what, I'm gonna put that lady in there. And
yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, this is all fresh for me, Wendy, because Stephanie referred your book to me, because she's like, you've got to read this book. And I've got like 1,000 books I'm reading, right? And so finally I put it into my queue and I received it. So I got the real book. I'm holding it right now.
Stephanie, I love it.
See it,
oh,
right?
I love it.
So I'm holding it. And I just finished it today. So it was done in time for this interview. And so you're talking about people that I'm like, I know them right now. Everything is fresh and clear. So, and it was, I'm wondering though, where did the paranormal come from? I mean, it seems to be, or this, you know, interesting twist. Now, I haven't read the other books yet, but I plan on it. Where did this come from?
You know, if I could answer that, I would sell it and and bottle it. But I don't, you know, people ask me that at my readings all the time. And the way I work, people say, well, what's your process? Well, I don't really have a process. I get inspired by a place, and then I just start, you know, an idea starts germinating. But then, literally, I just open my computer and start writing.
Wow.
And so I don't outline my books. I don't know what's going to happen before it happens. And that, to me, is so much fun.
Yeah.
I'm writing it sort of the way you're reading it. And it, you know, things occur to me, and it's exciting. And, you know, one thing builds off another, and it almost feels like magic. Sounds kind of funny to say, but I think your listeners will get that. It really does feel like it's coming from somewhere else, and it surprises me just like it surprises you.
That's cool. That is really cool.
Yeah,
I love
it's so much fun.
Yeah.
I love it, too. I know writers who sort of agonize over the process, and to me, it's pure joy. I'm so lucky. I get to do this for a living.
That's cool. Do you think that you're channeling stories from somewhere else? Because that just seems like it has some amazing flow.
Yeah.
It is. It's amazing. It really is. When when I'm writing the first couple chapters, I'm kind of setting things up. I don't know where things are going. But then all of a sudden, there's always a point. Maybe I'll be, so an average book is about 100,000 words. So maybe I'll be 10,000 words in, and all of a sudden it will roll out like you're rolling out a carpet, almost. It just kind of feels like that. It's like, ugh, there's where you're going. And I'll just write it down.
Wow.
That is so cool.
It's awesome.
Do you think... Do you think you are a little intuitive sensitive, and do you see spirits or feel them or know they're around?
Yes, I do. And I'm not sure if it's kind of a chicken or the egg kind of situation, because, okay, you may remember this and your listeners may remember this, but a few years ago, there was a commercial, and I think it was for some credit card, and it was M. Night Shyamalan, the guy who wrote The Sixth Sense.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of other cool movies. And it was just like a slice of his day. And he's walking down the street, and all of a sudden this creepy old baby buggy goes by. And then this guy who then turns into an alien is at the bus stop. And all these weird things. And he's just walking to get coffee. And that's my life now. So many weird things happen to me now. I don't know if it's, if it's because I write this stuff and I notice it, or if that always happened and that's why I gravitated toward this subject matter. I don't know, but I'll tell you a couple of stories that are kind of indicative of this. A lot of times it happens when I'm walking my dog. And I will, you know, need a break from writing, and so I'll hitch up the dog and I'll go outside, and then something weird will be waiting for me out in the world. And one day I was walking in my former neighborhood just off Lake Calhoun in Minneapolis, and it was a winter day, really cold, about 10 in the morning, and at the time I had 130-pound Malamute. And so we were walking down the street. Her name was Tundra, and I've put her in a couple of my books. But so Tundra and I are walking down the street. It's totally deserted. Everybody's at work. And all of a sudden, I see this black thing rolling across the road, across my path. And I get up to it, and it's just cruising along. And I look, and it's a black balloon.
Oh.
And I thought, well, okay, it's 20 below zero. How is there a balloon? And why is it just cruising along, cruising down the road on its own? And I thought it was weird, but, you know, I kept on walking, went around the block, went around a couple blocks, got back to my house. Waiting for me at the foot of my stairs was that black balloon.
No. Oh, way. Okay, I would be spooked, honey.
I took a picture of it. I had my camera with me. I took a picture of it and put it on Facebook. And so many of my friends now have said, tell that black balloon story. And it's like, these are the kinds of weird, creepy things that happen to me. Yeah. So I don't know how to quite to answer your question, but stuff like that happens. But then other times, really cool things happen. My mom passed away 3 years ago, and my brother passed away a few years prior to that of a massive heart attack. Now, if anybody is going to come back and haunt anybody, it would be my brother to come back and haunt me. And you've heard about people finding pennies and things.
Mm-hmm.
So many things like that happen to me. Objects will turn up in weird places. But just the other day, it was the day before my birthday, I was in my car, and I had a bunch of quarters in, you know, the little stash right next to the gear shift.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend said, what are you leaving money out for? You know, somebody's going to break your window to get this dollar, and then you're going to have a broken window. So take those and, you know, put them in your purse. Don't leave them up. So I totally cleaned out that stash and put the quarters in my purse and went inside. The next morning, I woke up and got in the car, and there was a penny sitting right in the middle of that.
Oh, cool.
And, I mean, nobody had been in the car. The penny wasn't in there. I didn't leave the penny behind. And I just thought, one of them is telling me happy birthday.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, for sure. I don't doubt it. Yeah. Well, you know, welcome to this crazy world that Heidi and I live in all the time. So none of this sounds weird to us, because weird things happen to us all the time. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I hear a lot of it. I go on book tours all around the country, and people always tell me their paranormal stories. And, you know, sometimes they're kind of weird things that go bump in the night stories. And I have a few of those, too. But most of the time, this is what happened after my mom died. You know, this is what happened, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how my loved one maybe is reaching out to me. And I think they're beautiful and hopeful.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, for sure.
Well, it definitely is telling you that they're, you know, there still, you know. And I don't know if you, but I know my dad passed away many years ago, and he is around a lot. Heidi can vouch for this, but I do know that when I'm having a hard time with things, he kind of comes up and gives me a hug, you know, and I know he's there, you know. And so, you know, and it's just very cool to know that they're still there, right? And they are.
It is.
So
it is. It's hopeful.
Well, yeah, and this whole Daughters of the Lake is kind of the same thing, right? It's these, it's one after the other telling the other one that this is what's happening, and they're looking over them.
Well, right, and it's, you know, I wanted to write a story about two women who reach out to each other across time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd always wanted to write a story that was in the present and in the past.
Yes.
Simultaneously. So that was a lot of fun for me to do. And I have to tell you that that love story between Jess and Addie in the past
mm-hmm.
is my favorite that I've ever written. I Aww. Still bawl like a baby when I read that thing. And I wrote it. There are certain passages I cannot read out loud at readings because I will just
Aww.
Start weeping.
It's
like, okay. You dork, you wrote this thing.
No, I think it's sweet. And it really it is magical. Sweet. I mean, yeah. there is a lot of mystery and hope. You know, you do hope that there's relationships like that out there. And, you know, I know some of our listeners, if and when they read your book, that they'll say, yeah, I know someone like that, or that's my relationship, you know, and it really is. Mm-hmm. It's a really cool, it's something that you just want there to be out there, you know,
yeah.
is that kind of relationship.
Yeah.
That's
sure.
right, that destined
mm-hmm.
love, and maybe it's not perfect. They're not, you know, skipping through the daisies all the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's meant to be. And mm-hmm. I love that notion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And,
Absolutely.
You know, not everybody's lucky enough to meet that person.
Right. Right. Yeah. You know, it's just, it is that destiny is kind of a good way to put it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You know what? We are almost at the half, so since we're kind of pausing right now, let's go to commercial break, and then we'll be back. So everyone, stay tuned. We will be back in 2 minutes. This is The Gathering with author Wendy Webb, and we are on the Para-X Network.
Millions of people are affected by the Para-X bug.
I realize that it is something that will stay with me for the rest of my life and long into the afterlife as well.
If you have the Para-X bug, there is hope.
With a nightly visit to the Para-X website and intensive past life regression therapy, I can control it.
Even with the Para-X bug, I can still lead an active life of radio show hosting, paranormal investigating, evidence checking, attending conferences, book writing, keeping up with the latest technology, and still keep my 40-hour-a-week day job.
If you think that you have the Para-X bug or know someone who might, visit para-x.com, and remember, you are not alone.
I am not alone.
I
am not alone.
The Para-X bug may cause the urge to chase shadow people, visit exotic haunted locations, adopt a pugwudgie, or spend all of your time trying to figure out the laws and principles of paranormal investigation. Listening to Para-X may increase these effects.
Sudden visions of full-body apparitions or feeling the covers being pulled off you in the middle of the night by unseen hands may also be signs of exposure to the Para-X bug.
The use of Para-X may be habit-forming, and an overwhelming desire to provoke spirits may be a serious side effect. If these symptoms last more than 4 hours, you should quickly consult a trusted witch and have her cast a "What the hell are you thinking?" spell on you. If symptoms persist, please contact the Para-X Radio Network Homeland Security Team for further instructions.
The Para-X bug may cause urges for late-night speaking with spirits and ghosts. Listening to Para-X may increase these effects. Overwhelming desire to try provoking a spirit may be a serious side effect. Those with Para-X bug effects lasting more than 4 hours should consult Para-X or see a professional. Sudden outbursts at the mention of orbs may be a sign of exposure to the Para-X bug. Use of Para-X may be habit-forming. Use caution when engaging in Para-X chat.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Welcome back to The Gathering here on the Para-X Network. We are talking with author Wendy Webb tonight, and it was a wild and woolly beginning of our show, and I think we've got it under control here.
I think so.
But Never we've been hearing now. Some really cool stories about, yeah. Wendy, how you are inspired, or you know, what you've been, you know, doing it, with your latest novel anyway, Daughters of the Lake. So welcome to our show tonight.
Thank you. Oh, this is so much fun.
Oh, good. Even with all the craziness. Well, you know, sometime we'll have to, you'll have to come back and we'll have to all be together and, you know, like in Heidi's studio. I know we're working on that. We're getting some more equipment so that we can do more live shows and that kind of thing. So hopefully you'll come and be with us in person. Because, I think that would be really fun.
Exactly. Oh, I'd love that. Wendy, my studio is in St. Louis Park.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, you're kidding. Where?
It's on the corner of, if you know, 27th in Louisiana, just south of Cedar Lake Road by the post office. There's a little building that nobody pays attention to, but there's magic happening in there. I'm telling you.
There is.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
So much shopping stuff.
Yeah, right? That's when you said you grew up. I was like, oh my gosh, I grew up, my grandparents lived in St. Louis Park. So I was there all the time growing up as a kid. I was baptized in St. Louis Park. Yeah, the whole thing. So love it there. Love it.
It's a small world. But yes, we will for sure, if you'll come back after all this craziness to the show, we can do it. We can do it live at some point at the studio and I'll be together. That would be really fun.
I love that. You know, I was just talking to somebody today and saying, that I'm going to be on your show. And I was just talking about how much I love radio. It's just, I think it's having a real renaissance with podcasts and, you know, all this stuff. It's just, it's so much fun.
We do too. We love it. Yeah, we do. We've been doing it for how many years now, Heidi? I can't remember. Is it 4.5? It'll be 5.
So.
It'll be 5 in January. So, yeah. And we're still having technical difficulties.
After not like tonight. Tonight is different. Tonight was weird.
Crazy.
But that's all right. It's good now. So, Wendy, we have a question for you.
I blame myself.
No, it's all good. I think it's just the, you know, the coven coming together tonight.
That's right.
The coven
that's
of witches.
Right.
Here we are.
That's right.
So, we have a question for you in our chat room. Gina is asking, what does your writing day pattern flow, kind of pick the one that you want to use. What does your writing day pattern flow look like? Your writing practice? She's curious.
You know, the favorite thing that happens is when I wake up in the middle of the night, maybe it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I can't sleep. And I get out of bed and my house is all dark and dog's sleeping, everybody's sleeping, and I just open up the computer in the dark and bang out a couple of chapters. That is what I love the best. There's no distractions, nobody's online, you know, nobody's wanting anything from me, and that's how I love to do it the best. Otherwise, though, I can just sit down and take 3 or 4 hours. I'm kind of under the gun. I'm writing my 6th book now, and I'm coming up against the deadline here. And so I'm writing pretty much all day.
Wow.
Yeah. Pressure. The pressure's on.
Yeah, just hearing you say the deadline.
I had good with pressure, though.
Are you? Because I had heart palpitations when I heard you say it.
I know, me too.
Just saying it. Oh, no. So you just sit there all day, every day, and just crank it out when you have to.
Yeah, that's what I do. When I'm under a deadline, if I'm responsible about it, what I will do is write, I don't like to get up until I've written about 2,000 words or a chapter. Because I feel like if you write any less than that, it's going to kind of sound choppy. And I like it to flow, and I like to give people reasons to turn that next page. And so I like to write a good chunk in one sitting. And so these days, though, since I'm under deadline, I'm writing more than that. But it's coming.
Mm-hmm. So when is this one going to be out and about?
Well, it's due in September, and so I'm not sure when the release date is. I'm sure that's in my contract, you know, signed in blood.
somewhere.
But and I was talking to my agent just a few weeks ago because we were negotiating this other deal that's going on, and she said, "So, how's your next novel going?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, it's going great." And she said, you know, it's due September 2nd. And I was thinking, the whole summer I've been thinking, oh, yeah, it's due in the fall. Well, guess what? Guess what, ladies? It's
you're here.
So
yep.
That's right. So I've got to wrap it up. But I do work best under pressure. When I've got a deadline, it's like, okay, focus,
mm-hmm.
you know, channel and bang this stuff out.
Cool.
Yeah, that is so awesome.
Is this going to be set in the Midwest again or similar type area, this one that's coming out?
It's going to be set in Wharton.
Okay.
Again, and that's going to be my thing because The End of Temperance Dare was also set there, but you never went into the town. And Daughters of the Lake, the town was really a character too.
Yes. Yes.
And now even more so in this next one. And so I don't want to like Murder, She Wrote myself in that, mm-hmm. okay, how many weird things can happen in one little town. But, but I think it's fun. I'm going to have the main character in Daughters of the Lake, Kate, be a minor character in this next story. And I have to bring Simon back in. Ride in the streets. I feel. So he's going to have to be a part of it too. But it's going to be the story of another woman who comes to Wharton to kind of put her life back together. And a lot of it is, this is the most, I don't want to say it's autobiographical, but it's about a woman who has been caring for her dying mother, which I did. Mm-hmm. And then her entire life falls apart, which mine did.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Got out of a relationship. My mom died. You know, career stuff was happening. I didn't have the next book deal. I moved, lived alone for the first time in about 25 years.
Wow.
And then my dog died.
Oh,
I'm like,
no.
Really? The dog too?
Oh.
And it was, I know. And it was just this weird time. And so I'm processing a lot of that and, you know, thinking, okay, how would somebody come back from that? Which I have now. Everything's awesome. But
mm-hmm.
You know, it's good to know that even after all that loss, there is awesome mm-hmm. out there.
For sure. You know, in mm-hmm. the tarot mm-hmm. tarot world, we call that a tower year. So yeah, mm. the tower year is a son of a gun. You know, it's like, how is anybody supposed to get through that? But that's the whole point, is the rebuilding. You know, it's all mm-hmm. torn down. You have a fresh slate. You can do whatever you want now. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's huge probably mm-hmm. for bringing up a powerful story
mm-hmm.
like the one that you're writing. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think a lot of people will relate to that because, you know, women of, well, I don't know how old you guys are, but women of a certain age, mm-hmm. and men too, obviously, you know, aging parents are a thing, and it's you know, it's hard, and you know, stuff happens, life happens, and I think a lot of people will relate to it and root for this character who's gone through some stuff and then finds some gold at the end of the rainbow.
Awesome.
Oh, I can't wait to read it because, I mean,
for sure.
You know, I've had that experience too, Wendy. I lost both my parents within 3 months in 2005.
Oh, no.
And then both of my dogs within the following year. So, I mean, it was like my mom passed away in February. My dog Sadie passed away in April. My dad passed away in May. And then my other dog, Abby, died in January of that next year. So it was horrible. It was a very dark time for me, can I say? So
it's horrible.
It'll be good to read this. I'm excited.
Well, and you know, I was going to say you talk about the town and how many, you know, things can happen. But it seems like the way you write it, it's one of those towns that people might retreat to, you mm-hmm. know, so I would believe it, you know, when I would, if I read something like that, I'd be like, well, of course you'd go there. It sounds healing, you know, it sounds like that place where you can kind of disappear and find yourself, you know, and not have all the business
exactly
of the world.
That's exactly what I'm trying to do with that town. you hit it right on the head. That it's a place where it's kind of a magical, mystical place that offers renewal.
Mm-hmm.
And also haunted.
Yeah,
and it's
right?
So
yeah.
Because last year, they asked me to come and speak to the high school in Bayfield. And so I went over there, and that's Wharton is based on Bayfield. And so I spoke to the high school. So much fun to speak to kids. And then afterwards, I decided, you know what? I think I'm going to spend the night. And the town was deserted. It was before tour season. And I went, if you're familiar with Bayfield, there's this iconic restaurant, and it's also a little boarding house called Grunke's, and it's been there for 150 years. And I went in there, and I was the only person in there, and I had my computer out, and I was writing, and my server said, oh, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm an author, and I'm working on my next book, and oh, who are you? And I told her my name. She said, oh, my gosh, we've got your books in the bookstore. Oh, I love your books.
Yeah.
So we start talking, and she said, well, you know, this place is haunted. And I said, what? And she goes over her shoulder. She calls Gary. And so Gary, this old cook, comes waddling out of the kitchen. And she said, tell her about all the ghosts here. And he said, oh, man, it's like every day. I look up, and one of them is floating through the dining room.
Oh.
And
cool.
I was like, oh. And on that weekend, I learned so many places in Bayfield are haunted. And I didn't. And people there are just really matter-of-fact about it. Like, yeah. Yeah, that happens. And so I thought, wow, that's kind of serendipitous that I set this, you know, this magical town. I based it on Bayfield without even knowing that it really did have a haunted history.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Well, I have to have a trip to Bayfield now talking to you, because, you know, I did know that Bayfield was Wharton because, you know, I read you have parts of the book that talk about it. But, I mean, not in the novel, but but wow, now after talking to you, it's like, wow, I got to go there. That's really... Now, tell me this. Does the Bayfield also have the warmer air in the wintertime, like is talked about in this novel, about how it's so much warmer there than just down the coast?
It does a little bit. And there's, there really is a beach. And I actually just wrote a scene today. There's a beach on Madeline Island that mm-hmm. is one of the only places that I've ever heard of on Lake Superior that you can actually swim in the water without wanting to just die. I live in Duluth. It can be 95 degrees.
Yeah.
And you go in Lake Superior in Duluth, and it is ice cold.
Yeah.
Even on the hottest August day. But over there, there's this one beach, and you can just swim, and it's just otherworldly. It's so awesome to be able to do that.
Uh-huh.
And
that
so that's
so
there.
Cool.
And there's just a peace there, just a really different laid back vibe that mm-hmm. That is just inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is awesome.
I've heard that about Madeline Island. I know people that go there, and it is a little magical, is what I've heard.
Mm-hmm. It's so magical. There's a place, one of the most popular places is Tommy's Burned Down Cafe. And so it burned down.
Oh.
Partially. And he didn't rebuild. He just put, like, a circus tent up.
What?
And it's been like that for, like, a decade or two. And you just go in, and it's just the most laid-back hippie place. And it's awesome. And I'm putting that in the new book, too.
Cool.
Mm,
that sounds so different and awesome.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
About this Grunke's, this Gary told me a story about one of the resident ghosts that lives there. And he said, yeah, and I can't remember her name, but I think it was Vivian. She was the wife of Grunke, the guy who bought this boarding house like in the 70s. And they ran it, together for decades, and she died not long ago. And then it changed hands. Somebody else bought it, this really cool woman. But Vivian is still there. And what wow. Vivian likes to do is go into the guest rooms when the guests are sleeping and take one shoe.
What?
So uh-huh. the guests will wake up in the morning and will find one of their shoes and can't seem to locate the other. And invariably, they will come wandering down to the desk and go, this is going to sound weird, but... And then the whole staff mobilizes and searches the building, and they will find the shoe in various locales, up on the roof, or in the basement, or out in the yard.
How do they know it's
and
her?
It's just a prank. And they think it's her. And so I heard this story, and then a little later on, I went over, and there's a rooftop bar overlooking the lake in Bayfield, and I was sitting up there, and I was telling the bartender about it. And she's like, oh, yeah, I knew Vivian. That's totally what she would do.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
So she's just messing around with people.
She's
just messing around with people.
That is awesome.
And I just love their attitude. It's just like this matter of fact, oh, yeah, yep, that's what
it is. No worries. Hey, staff, there's another shoe missing. Everybody look for it.
Yeah, right? It might be on the roof. You know.
Might be somewhere else, yeah.
Might be in the parking lot. Let's go.
What a great story that is. Oh, my gosh. I think I really need to go to this place. It's called Grunkies. Did you say you stayed there, or you just had a meal?
I did stay there. And I stayed there by myself, but the woman who owns it, oh, man, I can't remember her name now, but she's just a character. And we were talking, and she knew who I was, and she said, well, okay, I'm going to put you in room 10. Because mm-hmm. I asked her, so I've heard it's haunted. I said, listen, I'm putting you in room 10. Nothing's going on there. Room 5? No. You don't want to stay in that room.
What's room 5?
Okay. Oh. I don't remember that.
Must be a really haunted one or something.
Well,
must
yeah,
happen.
I guess. Yeah. I would want to stay in room 5.
I know, right?
I know.
If you're going to tell me you don't want to stay there, then that's exactly where I want to
exactly,
stay.
Exactly, right? Right? Oh, my goodness. For sure. Now, your other... Oh, gosh, yes. I think... Oh, Heidi, I think we all need to go there, right?
I know. The girls, we could do a show from there.
I know. Oh, God. Oh, that's even better. And maybe... maybe Wendy could come, too, and she could be our special guest.
I would totally do that.
That would be fun.
Oh, gosh. Let's do it, girls.
Different haunted places. The high school's haunted, too. It's the superintendent who died at his desk. Oh. And teachers are telling me this. It's like, oh, yeah, that's Bob. Okay.
Wow.
I'm
serious. I think that's super cool, though, that it's so open and not, you know, that it's just like, yeah, this is how it is.
They're not trying to hide it and shove it under the rug, you know what I mean? But, yeah, no, my gosh.
I would love to do an event in Bayfield. I've been talking to the bookstore about doing it. But wouldn't that be fun?
That would be just a hoot.
I think we need to
figure this out, because, you know, we're paranormal investigators, too. So, I mean, that would be just totally awesome. Can I just say?
I want to come. I want to come on,
on
an investigation.
Let's do it.
We could set something up while we're there. That'd be fun.
Well, yeah, we could do the show. We should do an investigation first and then do the radio show so we can talk about the things that have happened to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we have to.
Tonight.
I'm all in.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's figure this out. Let's everybody look at our calendars and figure out when we can do this.
So we do have a question, though, in the chat room. I want to make sure we get to that before we wrap up our show. And it's just a straight-out question that says, do you know, and I'm going to hack up the last name, I'm pretty sure, do you know someone by the name of Tom Booley? That's the question in our chat room for you.
What is the how does the last name spelled?
I'll spell it Booley.
No.
I don't know. Okay, there's your answer, Lorraine, in the chat room.
Yeah,
I know she's got a method to her madness asking a question like that. I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but yeah, that would be fun to set up a little two night, you know, investigation one night, radio show the next night. You do some kind of talk somewhere in there or whatever. I think it'd be great.
Yeah.
fun.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
I can help pull that together.
Oh, and it would be fun to look at all those big mansions there and go to the one that, you know, is really the mansion where the took place in Daughters of the Lake. That would really be fun, too.
The name of that place is the Chateau Boutin, mm-hmm. and it's owned by the big mansion there is the Rittenhouse, the big B&B. And the people who own that also own the Chateau Boutin, and it's on the other side of town, and it's a big purple, I don't know if they call it a Queen Anne. I don't know my architecture, but it's just mm-hmm. this enormous Victorian-looking mm-hmm. beautiful house on the hill.
Wow.
And that's where it is.
Fun. It'd be fun to go have tea at one of these places or something, you know what I mean? Oh.
Oh, they do that at the Rittenhouse. They do have yeah. a tea, I think.
Yeah, uh-huh. wouldn't that be fun? Yeah, that I think it would fun. Just be fun, you know. But
and just to yeah. see in those places, because, you know, being sensitive, Steph, you mm-hmm. and I both know, mm-hmm. you go into these places even just to have tea, and you can be surrounded.
You know exactly, yeah, and they're everywhere, and they're yeah. telling you things and showing you things, and yeah, absolutely.
So you can you can sense spirits when they're around, and mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. like if you walked into a house, say, you could know if there was a presence there?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I don't have to go to the house.
Yeah, Heidi's got a... Heidi
I
can
do
it
from here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, it's... That sounds like fun, though.
Yeah. Oh, we got to do it. We got to do it. So we will get you offline, Wendy, and we'll figure out maybe a couple of days when we can go and do this. That would be awesome.
Or we can email it so it doesn't get too crazy.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. I mean,
yeah.
But yeah, let's hold on to this and do this because that would just be totally awesome.
That'd be fun.
Go ahead. No.
Well, I was just...
Well, there's too much to ask, right?
I know. I'm like, we're not going to kick all in.
I know.
It's gone so quickly. This has been so much fun.
It's 8:54 already.
So we did put your website out there. And we put it in our chat room, and we'll have it on our. And we've had it on our website or our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Is there any sneak peek you can give to anybody of what you've got, what you're working on now? What else you're working on besides the book?
Well, I just finished a screenplay based on The End of Temperance Dare. And I don't want to say too much about it because I don't want to jinx it, but there's some exciting things going on around that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So it's a really cool time for me right now. And it just goes to show, you know, that you can go through that, you know, all that loss and all that darkness and all that change and come out the other side and have things be better than ever before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. Super excited
for you. Message.
That is really a powerful
message.
Well,
I wanted to mention too that I'm going to be a couple of places. I've got some readings coming up and I have to update my website because I'm really bad at that, but I'm going to be in Grand Marais on September 14th. And that's with a couple of other Minnesota Book Award winners. They schedule a panel discussion with people who've won that award, and which I'm proud to say I have done two times mm-hmm. now.
Awesome.
And so I'll be in Grand Marais on September 14th and at the Winstead Library October 26th and in New Ulm on November 4th. So that should be kind of fun, Halloween-y, spooky.
Yeah, for sure, Halloween-y. Perfect for your book.
Oh, for sure.
Plus, you have a lot of other dates on your website. Those I mm-hmm. see are not there, but the rest of them are. There's a lot more on the website and all over the place. So if you want to check out Wendy and go to one of her readings and book signings, go to her website, and she's got a whole bunch of them here. I'm looking mm-hmm. at them. There's like...
Yeah, I saw that, too. Oh, I was looking,
too. So,
you're a busy girl. That's for sure.
Well, it's fun. I love going out and meeting readers and telling my spooky tales.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. We love spooky tales. Perfect.
We do. We absolutely do. Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what? It's time for us to say goodbye.
But this has been great.
Dang.
Thank you so much for having
us. Yeah, this
has been
so much fun.
Yeah, sharing your stories and being on our shows has been absolutely fabulous. So thank mm-hmm. you. And thanks for putting up with our antics in the beginning.
Oh my gosh.
It was unplanned and crazy, but we made it. So,
yeah. But anyway, much enjoyed talking with you, and hopefully we can get something set up. But for sure, we'll do something at Heidi's studio in the next few months. Since that's good for everybody. We got to get our sound stuff figured out. But yeah, that would be fun. So
that would be great. We could do like a big Halloween thing.
Yeah, that would totally be good. Oh yeah, we could dress up. Maybe we could have an audience. Ooh, let's do it.
No, here she goes.
Here we go. I know, right? Awesome.
Well, Wendy, you know where to find me. I'm all in.
Awesome.
Good. All right.
I love it. We'll do. And
thank you so much.
Thank you, Wendy.
So much fun.
Good. It was awesome. We enjoyed it. And thank you to everybody listening, tuning into the show tonight, wherever you are. If there are troops out there that have tuned in, thank you for your service. And those of you in the chat room, we had a huge chat room tonight. Awesome.
I know it. We did. And they were pretty quiet for the most part.
It was a huge, quiet chat room. So thank you.
Right? I know. So next week we have a Dakota chief on the show, which will be really fun. Chief Brian. So join us for that.
Yeah.
And thanks, everyone. Go ahead. Sorry, I interrupted.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to say thanks to Para-X again for hosting us. And also, Sarge, my goodness, you were sweating bullets tonight, I'm sure, with all the craziness of our tech stuff. So thank you for being here.
He was.
Sir. And I am excited for next week, too. So that's going to be awesome.
Me, too. Awesome. And you know what? I heard tell that the calling is coming back on the air, too, soon.
Oh, good.
Like the week of Labor Day. So everybody get ready for that one. So... All right. Well, everyone, have a great week, rest of your week, and we will see you right back here next Tuesday night at the same time.
Yes. Thank you, and have a great week, everyone.
Bye now.